Hi, this is Suzanne Eder, and the recording you're about to hear was part of a conversation I had with several of my clients about finding and living their calling. Although most of their comments were edited out to protect their privacy, I felt the remaining material was really helpful to anyone seeking to live a more fulfilled life, so I wanted to make it available to as many people as possible through my website. We cover quite a lot of ground, so give yourself some relaxed, uninterrupted time to really listen and take it in. The recording runs just under 60 minutes, and the people who were on the live call found it immensely helpful. I hope you do, too. So hello again, everyone. This is Suzanne Eder of Solid Ground Transformational Life Coaching, and this evening's class is Finding Your Calling Wake-Up Call, and it's a topic very near and dear to my heart, as I think all of you who know me know. You know, my own life has been one of this very thing, finding my calling and finding how to live my calling. And for those of you who might be listening in the future and don't know me very well, I started my professional career as a CPA and spent many years in the corporate world climbing the ladder and in finance and ultimately human resources. And I had very responsible positions, but was never deeply fulfilled there or even close to being deeply fulfilled there. So a lot of my adult life was devoted in a way to finding a way to live and work to do that really satisfied my soul. So this whole topic of finding your calling is one that's really central to my own life and also to my professional life, because so many of my clients are having or have had similar experiences of feeling trapped in jobs they don't like or just in lives that aren't quite fitting them right anymore, but not quite knowing how to make a change. And, you know, I'm here to make a stand for we can make that change. We really can. And what I've come to deeply understand after so many years on my personal journey and as well as coaching so many clients is that we really do matter. We matter. What we love matters, because what we love expresses who we are. And what we most long to create, to give, to share, and experience is what the world most needs from us. So when I say living our calling or finding our calling, to me that's the same thing as honoring our desires or our longings. And I use both of those words interchangeably. You know, the word longings may seem a bit dramatic if you're not accustomed to it. But I use the word to signify kind of a depth, you know, that kind of deep desire for fulfillment. I actually did want to start with a quote from the book that I had mentioned in the article, and the book is Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work, and it was written by my beloved coach and mentor, Tama Keeves, who is already a best-selling author, and this is her second book. And I just, you know, I find her life and her writing deeply inspiring. So one of the things she says in her book, which I found very appropriate for this call tonight, is that we are given our dreams and desires for a reason. They are the portals to inspired living. It's our work to choose this life. And I wanted to start there with this idea of making a choice, because I can't really emphasize enough how crucial that is, how essential that is. It's kind of easy to kind of drift along knowing what we don't want, wishing for more. But until we make this inner decision that nothing is more important than honoring ourselves, expressing who we really are when we're not in fear or doubt and judgment. Nothing is more important. Until we make that decision, we'll keep drifting or we'll keep feeling stuck. But there has to actually be a point where we say, I'm taking a leap of faith here that my dreams and desires are my guidance. They are my portal to inspired living, and I am going to acknowledge them to the best of my ability, honor them, empower them. So if you haven't already, we'll do this a little bit more strongly in a few minutes, but I really want to encourage you to make an explicit, conscious decision to decide that what you love matters, that who you are matters, that your dreams and desires are given to you for a reason, and also to decide to use the inner guidance system that you're given, which many of us don't do. We kind of give our power away to either outside experts or just the opinions the general opinions in mass consciousness or in our families and friends. But our inner guidance is there for a reason, and our inner guidance is both our desires and our emotions. Our emotions let us know when we're on course or off course. Our desires call us in a particular direction. Our emotions let us know whether we're, again, on course or off course. And I wanted to share with you an experience from my journey, which really started many years ago when I was still married and I was working in the corporate world, of course, and I had gone to see Shakti Gawain at a conference. I'm not sure if any of you know who she is. But she was an early leader in the human potential movement, and she wrote several best-selling books, including Creative Visualization and Living in the Light. So I actually thought I would read from you. I had started to write a book a couple of years ago, and I just wanted to read to you this excerpt from that because I think it captures what it is we're talking about. So here we go. The first longing I felt as a longing was a deep desire to be Shakti Gawain, not just to meet her, but to be her. There she stood on the stage as the keynote speaker at an expo I attended in the early 1990s, fully present in a loving and luminous way that I had never before witnessed. Was it really possible to be that peaceful and calm and deeply happy? And was it really possible to make a living teaching others how to experience fulfilling lives, writing books and speaking and mentoring? I had never even considered such a possibility before, and suddenly there it was. Not just as a possibility, but fully realized as a living, breathing human being who happened to be standing a mere 20 feet from me. And in that moment, I birthed my first longing, pure and clear and radiating with joy. Shortly thereafter, I buried it. Or rather, I tried to. I buried it under years and layers of plans and expectations, of urgent needs to make good money and do the work I was trained to do. I dismissed that pure moment of crystal clear recognition, the recognition of something deep and true within me, as mere wishful thinking. And then I got back to reality. I wasn't remotely happy or fulfilled, but what did being fulfilled have to do with anything? Everything, as it turns out. So that's my excerpt, and I wanted to highlight that it was my feelings of frustration, those feelings of feeling trapped and unfulfilled, they were the guidance. They were reminding me of this deeply held longing that I kept ignoring until I didn't. And it took me a long time to finally make the decision to honor myself and my true longings. And making that decision was an essential step to actually putting things in motion. And it wasn't really a decision I made only once. It's one that I have to keep refreshing again and again. So I just wanted to pause here and come back to that for each of you, for all of us on the call and those who will be listening afterward, just to see if you're ready to make that decision, the decision to honor your desires and longings as a call to your most fulfilled life. So I'm going to tweak the quote that I read you earlier from Tama's book, and I'm going to state it as a declaration. So take some nice deep breaths, and I want you, as I read this slowly, to take these words in as your words. I was given my dreams and desires for a reason. They are portals to inspired living. I now choose this life for myself.
Can you repeat that?
Absolutely. I was given my dreams and desires for a reason. They are portals to inspired living. I now choose this life for myself. So how does it feel when I say that and as you take that in and see how it feels as a declaration?
It feels wonderful.
It does feel wonderful. And, Suzanne, I'll be honest with you. This is Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of liken it to I was a smoker for 35 years, and every Monday I quit for the last 10 years. And every Tuesday I'd start smoking again. So it took me a long time, but I finally got there, and I sort of just feel like that's where I am with this, that
yeah,
it feels good when I'm surrounded by people like you that inspire me because you are living proof that it's real. And when I was younger, I always jumped off the cliff and didn't think twice about it. But at age 54-something, just keep stopping me from doing it. And I keep struggling to get back to that young person that would jump off the cliff. But again, it's just, I know that it's there, and I know I can finally break free. I just think it's going to take practice of me saying this declaration constantly and keep surrounding myself by inspirational people like you and others.
Mm-hmm. That, you know what? It's almost as simple as that. Not easy, as we all know, but it really is. This is as simple as deciding and then finding a way to support our decision fundamentally. But because of all of the, as we know, the pulls and demands of life, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. But it is possible, and you're right. And believe me, I have had to make this decision over and over again. There have been many times where I almost gave up and thought, "What? You know, this is just too hard. I'm just going to find a job and go back." So I've had to kind of keep recommitting. And I think every time we do that, like I bet every time during those 10 years, Sue, that the Monday morning came again.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you didn't feel that way at the time, but you were actually strengthening your conviction, every time you made that declaration. And
I finally
stuck,
did it,
you know?
It 2 years, but it took me a long time to get there. But, yeah, it did strengthen my resolve. But I almost look like maybe my fear is like an addiction that I just need to just keep strengthening it, like you just said.
Yeah, keep coming back to, right. And actually, I would hesitate to use the word addiction. I know it might even feel that way, but
yeah, that's a bad.
If we soften our language, if we describe it as something that's really, really difficult to let go of, it'll become that. So, let's just keep coming back to our declaration. And I hope that everyone's willing to make that decision, that is really set a clear intention that nothing is more important, really. Like, you were given these dreams for a reason. You're given your emotions to help you. And to decide to honor them and to listen and follow is the most kind of noble and loving thing you can do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it. So it's really so wonderful because I'm kind of in a spot where I feel like maybe this was supposed to happen to me because I would never have jumped. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about jumping. And maybe I got a little push. You know, like a little push out the door, like, here, you know what you want to do, go do it. So all I have to do now is just figure out how to do it, rather than the jumping part's really done for me, because I'm definitely not going back to a corporate job. I've already decided that. But just focusing on a path, and I have a desire. I have some desires. I've just been wondering, are they authentic? And what you just said to me helped make it click.
Perfect. And I couldn't agree more, by the way, with how you're looking at what happened in your life. It's truly, I mean, we have natural impulses to grow and evolve. And if we, you know, if the circumstances of our lives prevent us from doing that, something is going to shift, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the most empowering and loving way to see it is a little nudge, a little push, or a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's the best way to look at this.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yay.
Yay. So, yeah, finding and living your calling is all about acknowledging, honoring, and following your desires and longings. And here's the kicker. It's also about being willing to believe that you can be generously supported in living a life you love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where many of us get stuck or shut down, as we've even said so far on this call. First, either we don't really know what our dreams are, or we've concluded that we can't support ourselves if we follow them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the not knowing what our dreams are in a minute, but let's get the money piece right here on the table. It's always the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
It's in my experience, both personally and professionally, this money piece it tends to be the thing that stops people in their tracks, you know, more often than not.
Right.
And, of course, talking about money could be its own course, and it probably will be its own course. But what I want to do right now is offer a perspective that can help us set aside these concerns about money, not ignore them, not ignore that we need to make money, but to set aside the way we're looking at it so that we can give ourselves the space and the time that our dreams need to develop. So first, there's really an essential shift that this path of living our calling asks us to make. Because finding our calling is not the same thing as finding a job. Although we may absolutely find jobs that are more fulfilling, or we'll start our own businesses as we make the choice to honor our true desires and our talents. But finding and living your calling, it isn't something that you figure out and you do and then you're done. It's an ongoing intention. It's a way to live life that is loving and self-honoring and ever-growing. It really is. It's an ongoing evolution. It's about being willing to make the choice that we just talked about, to decide that our dreams are important because they are portals to inspired living, and then to let them guide us always, not just to the next job, then we're done, but to recognize that our longings and our dreams, they evolve as we do, so that we're going to continue to listen in, we're going to continue to honor them and continue to follow them. So this really isn't about figuring out what career or job to choose to make the most money. I mean, that's what a lot of us did that landed us in a place of feeling stuck or unfulfilled to begin with, you know, really, because that was kind of the major criterion that many of us were using. So this finding your calling, living your calling, what it's about, and here's I'll quote again from Tama Keyes, and this is something she said when I interviewed her. It's about following your desire, inclination, and instinct moment to moment. It is knowing that you are doing the right thing with your time here on earth. That you're doing the right thing with your time here on earth. So again, finding and living your calling is all about acknowledging and following your true desires, your dreams. But we don't want to buy into the widely held belief in our culture that if you follow your dreams, you'll be poor. Like there's a huge belief system out there that kind of creates fear for those of us who are, you know, daring to honor our dreams, because, you know, there's that whole starving artist stereotype. And, you know, we're not after that either. I'm not here to say, you know, follow your dreams and just, you know, live on, you know, peanuts. This path really is about opening ourselves to what I call the deeper truth, that we are meant to be generously supported in living lives we love. And that means that most of us will need to radically change our beliefs about money and work and about our worthiness to live deeply fulfilling lives. And that is fundamentally the work, you know, for lack of a better word, the work of this journey is learning how to shift beliefs from the ones that limit or diminish us to the ones that support and empower us. And, of course, the art of shifting beliefs is beyond the scope of this one class. But what I want to emphasize here is that it is possible. So, you know, a lot of us believe that we can't make money doing what we love. Well, the belief itself is a potential obstacle. It's not a truth. It's a conclusion that we've drawn or an assumption that we're making. But if we can start to see these things as beliefs and not as truths, then we can shift them. So for now, just see if you can feel the truth of this statement. When you change what you believe, you change what you experience. Does that feel right to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you change what you believe, you change what you create or experience. And it's kind of so obvious that we just say, oh, sure. But when you really let it sink in, it's like, oh, yeah. So I do have some control over this. I have a lot of influence over this if I'm willing to change my beliefs. And if you're willing to believe that you are worthy of being generously supported and living a life you love, and if you are willing to believe that this universe has an infinite number of ways to provide that support, then you are on your way. So let me check in. Do you feel willing to believe that you're worthy of being generously supported and living a life you love?
Yes.
I'm willing to try. I certainly can try.
Yeah.
I think it's that Puritan work ethic, you know, where you like, well, that's why it's called work. It's not supposed to be fun.
Yeah, that's one of the many thoughts that we believe to be true that can get in the way. Because, you know, to create lives that we love, we have to let love lead, not struggle and work. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another way to look at this money piece is from the perspective of trusting that when we do follow our genuine longings and when we are willing to shift our limiting beliefs, as we go, we don't have to unearth every single belief we could possibly be holding. You know, as we step forward into the journey, the beliefs that are holding us back will reveal themselves. So as long as we're willing to keep stepping toward our longings, and as long as we're willing to shift our limiting beliefs, we'll figure out the money piece as we go along. So we don't need to have it all figured out right now. Now, this is, I will admit, challenging for our linear minds to accept, especially if we're planners. But it really is essential that we find a way to set aside our need to figure it all out up front. Otherwise, we'll shut down our dreams before we even get started.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see if you can at least acknowledge that trying to figure out how your dreams translate into money right up front is premature and actually impossible. It's kind of like trying to figure out specifically how you're going to finance your newborn baby's college education, but you don't yet know what your baby's talents are, whether she'll have any desire to go to college. You don't know if maybe you'll inherit a lot of money between now and then. You don't know if she'll be able to work through college on her own. You don't know what kinds of tuition assistance programs might be available. There's just an infinite number of variables that can't be predicted with our linear minds, because life is fluid, it's interconnected, and being newly created moment to moment. And that same dynamic is true when we choose to find and live our calling. So just because we can't immediately see how our dreams will translate into money doesn't mean that they can't or they won't, or that we won't be supported through some creative means that we can't yet foresee in living a life that we love. So again, this is something that we figure out as we go along, as we're willing to go along, as we're willing to challenge our beliefs, as we live into it and see how our dreams want to express themselves. And I can tell you, on my journey, I have had to face and dismantle many of my fears, many rigid assumptions, especially having trained as a CPA, about money and how it's earned and how it's managed. And I will tell you that I have done everything from a refinance to my house. I've gone back into the corporate world to do consulting. I've borrowed money from my IRA. I've used credit cards. I've accepted gifts from family members. And ultimately, I've learned to deeply value myself and my work and to set my prices in a way that I can be supported. So It's been such a journey of, you know, challenging everything that I thought I knew about work and money. And I was willing to make those challenges because of the inner decision that nothing is more important than that I live true to myself. So again, I'm not saying that we don't need to creatively find ways to pay the bills as we cultivate our dreams. I'm just saying that we're not here just to pay the bills, and that our focus on that has actually led us away from our innate creativity and our ability to prosper through that creativity. So here's the perspective that I want you to hold as we move forward here. And it is this: I am worthy of being supported and living a life I love. I am willing to shift my limiting beliefs about work and money. I acknowledge that following my genuine longings connects me with my aliveness and creativity. And I am willing to trust that I can creatively find ways to generate the money I need along the way. So how does that sit with you all?
I'd like to frame that.
Yeah. I'll email it to you if you'd like.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to frame it, really.
I
like
to.
Be sure, you know.
What was the second one? I acknowledge following my longings.
Yeah, I'll read them again. They're pretty short. The first one is, I am worthy of being supported and living a life I love. The second one is, I am willing to shift my limiting beliefs about work and money. The third one is, I acknowledge that following my genuine longings connects me with my aliveness and creativity. And the fourth one is, I am willing to trust that I can creatively find ways to generate the money I need along the way.
I used to be able to take shorthand. I can't do it any longer. So
I'll definitely email this to you.
I agree. I think that is a beautiful, it's beautiful to print down and just place it in strategic positions as you go along your day, just to look at that and read it and absorb it and feel it.
I couldn't agree more. And I have to tell you, that kind of thing, you know, really acknowledging the deeper truths, the things that we want to believe and uphold, and as you say, write them down, take them in, It really does make a difference. It really does help because, you know, we have to actually feed our minds and our hearts with, again, the thoughts, the beliefs that will empower us, because it's too easy to get pulled back into the kind of thinking that disempowers us. So, yes, I'll be happy to email them to you. And I'll be the first to admit that making that shift in our thinking is immensely challenging, but that's sort of the whole point, because this journey of finding and living a calling, it's one of personal liberation from the fears and the beliefs that have held us back. And it's one of waking us up to the depth of our talent and our magnificence. And depending on how firmly entrenched those fears and limiting beliefs are, this really can be challenging at times. There's no doubt about it. That's why I so firmly believe that it's essential, as you were saying, Sue, and I know others have known this too, that we find ways to stay supported and inspired. So writing things down, reading books that are inspiring. I'm a big fan of coaching for obvious reasons, both as a coach but also as a client, because, you know, Tama has been my coach for many years. You know, supportive friends. This is all part of that choice that we make, you know, to not only to make a decision, nothing is more important than that I honor who I really am, I'm also going to choose to find ways to support myself in that.
I think too, Suzanne, part of what's been deep down inside is I've been thinking I had to just jump off the cliff for this to occur in my life. And what I think I'm hearing is I need to just believe it and just read these words and feel it and see it and visualize it and the whole thing. And I'll hear or I'll get signals along the way of where the foot should go next, instead of such something dramatic. And I guess that's what I was thinking I had to do, was something majorly dramatic before I would know what my life calling was and I was doing something that I loved.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think that word, you know, that phrase, jumping off the cliff, we've all, has been mentioned a couple of times, and you are so right. And sometimes we do make that choice. It just feels right and we do it. But you are so right, Sue, and that's why I wanted to have this call, because this really isn't about a singular or a single decision point. It's about a way of living. And it is revealed step by step by step, as long as we're making the time in our lives to listen in, to stay inspired. And as you said, we'll be guided to just the very next step. And I would never encourage jumping off the cliff if you're in terror. There's a thinking, feel the fear and do it anyway. And sometimes there's a way to navigate that where that's very helpful. But, you know, if you're in fear about jumping off a cliff, the fear itself will paralyze you. So you won't get the benefit of having made the jump. So this is really a journey of self-love, as those of you who know me well know that this is kind of foundational. You know, you want to really love yourself through this. You know, have this be the most loving, the most empowering experience that you can create. And so actually this is a beautiful segue into this kind of next piece, which is a lot of people kind of really don't know what their dreams are, or they might have an idea but don't know quite how to start, or, you know, there's just the uncertainty about what is it that I'm creating, you know, what is the next step, or what is this vision? So I wanted to talk about that because this leads right into back to what Sue was just saying. First of all, I'll say that a lot of people say they don't know what their dreams are, but it may be more accurate that they think they don't know what their dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people aren't thrilled with the jobs they have or the lives they have. They know what they don't like what they don't want, but they don't yet have a clear vision for what they do want. And I have to tell you, it's pretty rare for this complete vision to just pop into your head fully formed, where you say, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, that can happen, and if it does, yay. But if it doesn't, don't think there's something wrong with you. You know, it's, again, back to what Sue was saying, this isn't about fully blown vision or a jumping off the cliff and hoping you'll figure it out. This is about learning to listen in moment to moment to moment. So if you're in the position of thinking maybe that you don't know what your dreams are, first what I'll say is change your language around that, because what we focus on is what expands. So if we keep focusing on the fact that we don't know, will keep experiencing not knowing. So you want to start thinking and speaking in terms of everyone has dreams and wishes and desires, and I'm willing to find and acknowledge mine. And then really give yourself some quality time to ask and answer the question, is there something, perhaps secretly, that I've always longed to do or be? I have some other questions I can give you as well. But the idea here is just to start where you are and acknowledge that you do have dreams and desires and longings, and you are absolutely willing for them to be revealed. And I know for me, I was actually pretty far along on my own journey. I'd already made several changes before I realized that my experience with Shakti Gawain had given birth to a dream, a very real one. And once I recognized that and embraced it as my dream, then I began moving more swiftly toward creating it as a reality. And again, remember, if something comes up for you but you can't quite see how you'll make money at it, remember the perspective that we're holding that money right now, that we'll figure it out as we go along, and just keep coming back to the decision that you're making to allow your dreams to guide you step by step. And again, back to what Sue was saying, maybe, you know, you might be in a position of not really seeing or knowing of something that feels like a genuine desire to you right now. Many people do have that experience. So what I'm going to say is keep it simple. We have desires and impulses every day, simple ones, to eat, to rest, to call a friend, to take a long walk, to write in our journals. Those desires are also part of our guidance system. And just as so many of us have cut ourselves off from our big or our deep desires, we've also cut ourselves off from our day-to-day wants and needs too. And the more accustomed you become to listening within and acting on your genuine moment-to-moment feelings and impulses, the more you invite your more deeply held longings to the surface. It's a way of being. It's an intention. It's a way of saying, who I am, what I want and need matters. And that can be as simple as I need to rest now to as kind of far-reaching as I want to start a nonprofit now. You know what I mean? They're all related. They're all connected. And the seemingly little desires are the ones that might even seem unrelated to our calling. They will lead to the bigger ones or the deeper ones. And I wanted to share a little bit more of the details of my journey because it started off, actually, I was working, you know, in the corporate world and had no inkling that I would leave that career. I was, in my mind, I was set for life. And I started taking these aerobics classes, and I loved them, loved them. So much that I became an instructor. I started my own aerobics business on the side. And then my interest in fitness just naturally started expanding into an interest in wellness and then mind-body-spirit connection. And then once I had that interest going, I followed that tingle to the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. I'm still working, by the way. Still in the corporate world. This is all happening outside of my corporate job. But I was following the tingle. And, you know, so by this time I had already been teaching aerobics for many years. I was now enrolled in a healing school. And it wasn't until after I graduated from the healing school that I recognized that Shakti Gawain experience revealed my deeper longing. So then I was able to use my Barbara Brennan education as a foundation for my writing, for my mentoring, for my teaching. So one thing just kept unfolding and leading to the next. And, you know, talk about following the energy or following my desires without any clear idea of where it would lead. But the key was I had to give myself permission early on to invest my time and energy in becoming an aerobic instructor. That was a big deal for me because all of my common sense, and also my husband at the time, thought it was a distraction from my real job, this little aerobics thing. But if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't given myself permission early on to invest my time and energy in what I liked, what I enjoyed, what lit me up, if I hadn't done that, and if I hadn't kept doing that, I would likely still be stuck in a corporate job I hate rather than living my dreams. I mean, who knew that giving myself permission to be an aerobics instructor would lead to me now being an award-winning writer, a teacher on how to live your calling? I mean, my linear mind certainly didn't know that, but my soul knew. And it was guiding me all along through my authentic desires. I picked up an email just yesterday from a client of mine who doesn't live in Delaware and she was sharing an update. And her, it's just, I just love when things like this happen. She, when she came to me, it was only a couple of months ago. She also just knew that she was frustrated in the job that she had, but didn't have a clear sense of what to do next. So, you know, as I'm suggesting here, rather than focusing on what she didn't know, I asked her to focus on what she did know. One of the things she knew she loved is nature, being in nature. And she also knew that she, of course, wanted more fulfilling work, so I encouraged her to spend more time in nature and then begin to acknowledge what she does know about what she wants in a career. Not the specifics, but how does she want to feel? So she, there was one particular walk that she had with her dog where she had this some profound insights. She began naming things such as she wants flexibility, she wants working with, she wants to work with her clients in nature. She's a therapist. She wants to work in a supportive, non-corporate environment. So she started to just focus her energy and attention on what she did want, and she gave herself some time, and she's very busy, you know, married with a young child, demanding job. So this, you know, she had to make the decision to give herself more time in nature because that's where she felt so alive and at peace and clear. And it was on those walks that she started to piece together what she wanted. And so now she's in a whole different place mentally and emotionally. Well, she emailed me today that she was just recently offered an opportunity to join a small practice with other therapists, a non-corporate environment. She was also contacted by an animal organization that she had done some volunteer work for to do paid work. She got a brilliant idea for a business that she could co-create with a colleague. So in a matter of just a couple of months, she went from feeling stuck and frustrated to being inspired and having real, exciting opportunities to investigate, and she now sees herself as an entrepreneur. And that's a huge identity shift, you know, because that's part of what happens, not that we all have to be entrepreneurs. It's just that in order to create lives that we love and follow our dreams, we have to be willing to let go of whatever identity we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
And in her case, letting go of the identity as employee, you know, and taking on this new identity as a very creative entrepreneur. So, you know, this kind of shift happened in just a few months, really. So I hope that you find that as inspiring as I do. It goes back to, again, what Sue was saying. This isn't about having to jump off a cliff. You know, she wasn't going to just quit her job. She, you know, she has a child to support. So that wasn't realistic for her. But she was willing to believe. And this was the key, because initially when she came to me, this wasn't so certain in her mind that she actually could create work that she loved. And it wouldn't necessarily look like a job, but it might look like different, you know, a combination of things. So she started to see things differently and open herself to new possibilities, and things are shifting pretty rapidly for her.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That was very nice. That was very inspirational.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing that I feel like this is food for our souls here. This is why I love to hear about, to know about, to read about other people's journeys, because it helps us to really get that there isn't just this one reality that a lot of us, you know, kind of got sucked into early on, you know, the whole mainstream, climbing the corporate ladder, or just, you know, getting the job, paying the bills, and saving for retirement. So there's another way to live life, and I love when we let ourselves take in these experiences that other people have had, because that, honestly, that was one of the things that helped me early on. Was I kept thinking, I kept reading everything I get my hands on about creating the work you love and, you know, how that works, and I remember it started to slowly sink in that there are a lot of people out there doing what they love. Like, why can't I be one of them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they can't all be more educated. They can't all have more money. They can't all be more beautiful. You know, I couldn't keep making excuses. Like, this has to be something that's inherently possible with the right intention, with the right support and mindset. So that's why I do love to share these real-life experiences, because I hope that they are inspiring for you, so you start to get it, how it works. It really is an evolving experience. Again, sometimes we do jump off the cliff, but it doesn't have to be that. It's being willing to, like we said, listen in, to follow the energy where it naturally leads us to the next step and to the next. And so your job is to notice what gives you energy, what lights you up, and step toward that. And your job is to acknowledge what you do know about what you want, to keep focusing on that, to keep expanding on it, and to be willing to believe that you can manifest it. And your job also, this is so critical, is to create a safe inner space for the birthing of your dreams. And by that I mean an inner space that's free of self-doubt, self-criticism, and self-judgment. And, you know, for me, that's been a huge part of my journey, is to learn how to quiet those voices of doubt and criticism and start to take on these deeper voices that are loving and empowering. And your job is also to carve some quality time and space into your life for the quiet self-connection, the self-listening that is so important on this. So let's talk a little bit about some of the practices and exercises that I have found to be really helpful in keeping myself aligned with this decision to honor and follow my dreams. And the first one is, I mean, it's so basic. Nothing, this is not earth-shattering, but if you're not doing it, I'd say try again. And that is to set aside time every day for getting quiet and just being with yourself. And that could be in the form of meditation. It could be taking a walk. It could be journaling. But the intention is to give yourself some amount of time just for self-connection and self-listening. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time. You know, I had one client, she's in Texas, and when we first started working together, she was working two jobs, she was planning a wedding, you know, really overcommitted. But there's no way that we can create lives we love when they're that crowded. Like, we've got to create space, a space for self-connection. So her starting commitment was 5 minutes a day. When she came out of her shower, she sat for 5 minutes to just breathe. And she would use like a mantra or an affirmation that she would kind of breathe into. 5 minutes only. And I also asked her to give herself a half day a month, to take a half day away from work, do something really self-nourishing, and spend some time with your journal. And just those two things were life-changing for her, because she became so much more self-aware, and she became so much more clear about what she deeply wanted and how she was getting in her own way. And her life totally transformed. So it doesn't have to be a huge amount of time. It just has to be regular. So setting aside time every day for getting quiet and listening within is just such a fundamental practice on this journey. Because, again, the whole point of it is that we want to honor and follow our dreams. Well, if we're not listening to them, you know, we've missed the first step. So you really do want to spend some time each day just getting quiet and listening within. Another great practice, and this is just throughout the day, write these two questions down, is to keep checking in with yourself. How do I feel? What do I need or want? Just make that a habit. Decide to make that a habit. How do I feel? What do I need or want? What can I give myself right now? And the point here is, it kind of gets back to what Jessica was saying early, kind of reorienting our moment-to-moment lives from just rush, 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 busy, 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 have to get it done, to a more inner-focused, inner-directed one. So get in the habit of checking in with yourself whenever you think of it. And I know that, you know, you might forget to think of it, but do what you need to do. Put a post-it note up, or, you know, send an email reminder to yourself. You know, just check in. How do I feel? What might I need or want? What could I give myself right now? Because doing that is a subtle but powerful way of reinforcing that you are paying attention, that you are willing to listen to yourself. And again, it's back to that point of, even if all you know in that moment is, I just need to take a break. If you honor that knowing, if you actually take that break, you're sending a message to yourself that you matter, that your longings matter no matter how small, and you're creating that safe space that we talked about. So the more you do that, the more you become accustomed to checking in with yourself and honoring your smallest needs as best you can, the more those deeper longings will reveal themselves. Okay, the next practice, and this is actually more than a simple practice, I have to tell you. This is a whole class in itself. But become willing to first recognize and then challenge those specific thoughts and fears that are holding you back. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. Because all of us tend to have, you know, a whole constellation of thoughts and beliefs about ourselves and about the way life works. Some of them serve us very well, but some of them are standing squarely in the way of us following our dreams. So an example from my experience was, I've been doing the work I love on the side since like the mid-1990s, because that's when I enrolled in the Barbara Brennan School, so I started to see clients back then. And I continued to see clients after I graduated, of course, and then the format changed away from energy healing and toward coaching. But I was doing this work on the side for a lot of years before I jumped off the cliff. But what I found was I actually went back to the corporate world several times, first as a part-time employee, then as a consultant, whenever the going got rough. And I realized that one of the beliefs that I was holding was, well, only corporate work really pays. So even though I was doing the work I loved on the side, I had this belief that in order to make good money, I would need to be in a corporate environment in some form or fashion. So I kept going back. So that was one of the beliefs that, again, I was stepping into my longings, but I was feeling stuck. So that feeling stuck got me to question what might be holding me back. And this is what showed up. So once it's conscious, then you can make conscious choices to challenge that belief. And that one was fairly easy to challenge, at least initially. Well, there's a lot of people who don't work for corporations and they're making plenty of money, But you have to know what the belief is before you can challenge it. So be willing to recognize and challenge the thoughts and fears that are holding you back. And I will say that this can get a little tricky only because many times they aren't necessarily visible to us. They're just things that we think are so true we don't even think to question them as beliefs. Hmm. So again, the art of this is just to keep stepping forward based on your guidance, based on your intuition, based on where your energy is leading you. And if you get stuck in some way, just be willing to say, okay, there must be something that I'm holding on to or some thought that might be running counter to the direction that I want to go. Another one that really plagued me for a long time and still pops up is, I guess I just don't have what it takes, because the shift from employee to entrepreneur has been a big shift for me. And there's so much involved in being an entrepreneur that it would be easy, and it has been easy for me to say, I just don't have what it takes. Well, that thought, the thought itself, it's not that I don't have what it takes, but if I keep telling myself I don't have what it takes, then that thought itself is what's going to stop me. So I had to really be willing to question that, to challenge that, to focus on all the ways that I do have what it takes. Like I had to make kind of an active, conscious effort to shift that belief. So, again, that's a little bit more than just a simple practice. It's more of an intention, but it's really, really crucial. This is all part of that creating the safe inner space for your dreams. Because if my dream is to be a successful entrepreneur, but my belief is, yeah, but only corporate work really pays, well, then that's not a safe space to grow an entrepreneurial dream. you just be willing to notice the kinds of thoughts that you're holding, the kinds of beliefs that you're holding that might be standing in the way, be willing to challenge them. And just, challenge them directly. Like, is this really true? Is it really true that only corporate work really pays? Another great question to use to challenge your beliefs is, what else might be true that is even more empowering? So, in my case, again, only corporate work really pays. Well, it's true that corporate work can pay very well, but what else is true is that, with entrepreneurial work, the sky is the limit. Nobody is telling me my salary is. I get to create it. So, again, you want to ask the questions, is this really true, and what else might be true that's even more empowering than this? Now, again, this is a real high-level conversation about shifting beliefs. There's a real artful process to it. But I just wanted to highlight it here because it's so crucial to navigating this path. It's just, again, being willing to recognize that you may be holding on to some old thoughts, old conclusions about how life works that no longer really serve you. And there's another great practice, and this is one that Tama calls having an inspired self-dialogue. And this is in her book, the book that we just talked about, Inspired and Unstoppable. And it's a nice journaling practice where let's say that you are aware of, like, particularly this is good for fear, like you're aware of, oh my God, if I go to Arizona, I won't find a job, or, you know, that's not probably what you're thinking, Carrie, but I'm just giving it as an example. Like, there might be some kind of a fear.
Yes,
that,
it is. Actually.
Yeah. Might be a fear that shows up. And so a lot of times what happens with fear is we either just wallow in it, you know, we just keep telling that story and we just keep igniting the fear, or we try to ignore it, you know.
Yeah.
And the better way to deal with a fear like that, a belief that's or a thought that's causing that kind of a fear, is to actually look at it and take it in. So the practice here is, again, what Tama calls an inspired self-dialogue, where you first kind of give the pen to your fear. You first just go ahead and, you know, give voice to it. Like, here's what I'm afraid of. And what you're doing in that case is you're writing to, like, imagine you're sitting down writing to the most wise, kind, loving being you can imagine. And that could be a person. It could be Jesus. It could be Buddha. It could be just your own personal idea of God. It could be an angel. Whatever feels loving and wise and comforting to you. So you sit down with your journal and you write to that person or that being. Oh, I'm really afraid about this. Then you pause, take some deep breaths, and they'll, in effect, give the pen to that person. Practice speaking in the voice of the most wise, loving, kind being you can imagine, and let that voice, let that being respond to you. And this may seem at first a little awkward or contrived, but I'll tell you that if you do it, you know, repeatedly, you'll be surprised at the wisdom that you will gain access to in yourself.
Mm.
I've been doing this for years. And at first, you know, what you're likely to write are things that you've read, you know, things that have comforted you or inspired you in the past. And that's perfectly fine because, you know, things that we read that resonate with us, well, they're resonating with our inner wisdom. You know, if there wasn't something within us for them to resonate with, they wouldn't resonate.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're first starting out with this kind of a practice, you know, by all means, if there's certain phrases or thoughts or concepts that have always comforted you, use them. But keep writing. Just opening to your deepest wisdom. So you're literally having a dialogue. You know, your fear is speaking and your wisdom and your love are responding. So that's a really, really powerful practice. I also wanted to suggest setting up either daily or at least weekly check-ins with yourself. For this purpose, specifically to acknowledge yourself for anything and everything that you've done in that past week or the past day that has moved you toward your dreams, anything, especially not just outer shifts. I called this person, oh, I made the reservation for the flight to Arizona, but even the inner shifts, like, wow, I caught myself criticizing myself and I stopped and I said something loving instead. Like, you really want to acknowledge every shift you make away from fear and toward love and toward your dreams. So you want to set these daily or weekly check-ins to do that, to acknowledge yourself. And I would say jot them down, like literally write them down. And then also use that time to set your intention for the coming day or the coming week. And not create a to-do list, but just kind of ask yourself, you know, where your energy is going. What would you like to do in service of your dreams this coming week? What are you willing to do? What would make you feel good to have done? So again, it's not a to-do list. It's really a setting of intention. Mm-hmm. And it's giving yourself permission to choose these things based on what energizes you, what feels right, rather than on what you think you should do. So it's a practice that helps you shift your orientation away from the taskmaster and toward following your tingle, following your inspiration. So again, that's just a practice that I would suggest, this either a daily or a weekly check-in that has these two purposes. One is to acknowledge yourself lovingly for anything and everything you've done that moves you forward, and also to use that time to choose your intentions, to just acknowledge what you'd like to get done in the coming week that really does feel right to you, that would make you feel good to have done. And then, of course, the following week, you can check in and see if you did it. And, you know, it is not to call yourself to task if you didn't. It's just to keep, you know, staying aware of where you are in the journey and what kind of commitments you would like to make. Now, I'm a big fan of, I do the acknowledgement piece. I do that every day. I sit down every day and think about the previous day and acknowledge myself. The intention setting I do on a weekly basis. And I find both of those practices really, really supportive. And I also want to give you a couple of questions that you might want to explore in your journal. I have three of them here, and I can email them to you as well if you'd like. The first question is, in the absence of fear, how would I be living my life? In the absence of fear, how would I be living my life? The second question is there something that perhaps secretly I have always longed to do or be? And the third one is, what lights me up right now in my life? And how might I find time to do or have more of this? And that could be ideas that light you up. It could be things you already know you love doing. It could be hanging around certain people. So no limits on, but just ask, what lights me up right now in my life? And how might I find time to do or have more?
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, just here's just something I often say to myself and to my clients. Start replacing the word think with feel, because this is a lot about feeling your way through. It's easy to overthink things and to overanalyze, you know, based on our skills and our experience. And so you really want to get in the habit of feeling your way into it. Does this feel right to me? Do I feel called to this? Is there a tingle for me here? So even if you start, again, using the word feel in place of the word think whenever you can, it helps to orient your perspective toward that more deeper intuitive knowing. So that is pretty much what I had planned to offer in terms of the actual content. Hi, this is Suzanne Eder again, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation about finding and living your calling. If you're ready to make the commitment to honor your desires and dreams, please be sure to find ways to stay supported and inspired on the journey. I offer many other free resources on my website at mysolidground.com. You'll also find our events calendar with upcoming classes and retreats that are designed to help you wake up to your magnificence and create a life you truly love. And of course, I offer private coaching, which many people have found invaluable on their journeys of personal transformation. I offer free 20-minute phone consultations as a way for us to get to know each other and decide if my coaching is the right support for you. For those of you who are on what I call a path of spirituality and expanding consciousness, I also offer an extraordinary energy-based process called Divine Openings, originated by contemporary spiritual teacher Lola Jones. Divine Openings initiates or accelerates spiritual enlightenment by opening you to the grace that has been raining down on you all along and teaching you how to stay aligned with the flow of grace rather than pushing against it. Again, you may schedule a free consultation with me to learn more about my work and whether it's right for you. Please email me at see@mysolidground.com or call me at 302-888-2138 to schedule your free session. No matter how you choose to stay supported and inspired, remember always that you matter and your dreams matter because they are an expression of who you are. I wish you deep peace and expanding joy as you find and live your calling.